of Uruguay.
Oh, he's one of the most amazing people I've ever interviewed. Mujica was a leader of the Tupamaro guerrilla movement. He was a dissident. He was kept at the bottom of a well for 2 years by the dictatorship, and he emerged to become the leader of his country. He lives in a shack. I went to the shack. I mean, it's no exaggeration to say David Cameron and Barack Obama wouldn't keep their shoes where Mujica lives. And he led his country to legalize marijuana, first country to legalize marijuana since the drug war begins in the 30s, because he'd seen what happened, and I went there to see this in northern Mexico, where the cartels have, if a large part of the economy is illegal drugs, the armed criminal gangs have more money than the state. They can hijack the state and take it over. And he saw if that comes and hits Uruguay, they're screwed. It's a small country. They don't have much military force. And really the horror that I saw, I mean, I interviewed the only person to ever be at the heart of one of the Mexican drug cartels and make it out to tell what it was like. And, you know, this is one of the most horrendous atrocities of the war on drugs, is what it does to the supply route countries.
Well, Johann Hari, I want to thank you for being with us. His book is Chasing the Scream. It is just out. The subtitle, The First and Last Days of the War on Drugs. That does it for the broadcast. Happy birthday to you, Grand. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mark Berker, Nate Felser, Aaron Mate, Nermeen Sheikh, Steve Martinez, Sam Malcolm, Hani Massoud, Ravi Karan, Dina Guzder, Amy Littlefield. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez.
You are listening to KBOO Portland, where the time is now 8:01. Coming up next is Wednesday Morning Talk Radio with our host, Paul Rowland.
Now available, the first episode of the Speciesism podcast with your host, Magenta Rex, navigating the landscape of our sordid human history with care and compassion. You can find it online at kboo.fm/content/thespec. Or by going to the KBOO homepage, clicking on Programs, and scrolling all the way down to the Speciesism podcast. Yeah.
KBOO would like to thank our community partners that donated food for our volunteers today. Breakfast was provided by Bar Carlo, located at 6433 Southeast Foster, and they serve a bistro-inspired menu, weekend brunch, with vegan and vegetarian options. Lunch was provided by Lair Hill Bistro, located at 2823 Southwest 1st Avenue, serving breakfast, lunch, dinner, and catering for the past 18 years. They also have live music on Thursdays and Fridays. More info at their Facebook page. Dinner was provided by Porque No Taqueria, with two locations, one at 3524 North Mississippi, and at 4635 Southeast Hawthorne, serving lunch and dinner made from locally grown and produced ingredients.
This program is made possible in part by KBOO Foundation members and a grant from Gazelle Natural Fiber Clothing and Full Circle Resale, featuring women's clothing, jewelry, and accessories with a focus on natural fibers since 1984. Gazelle and Full Circle Resale are both located at the corner of Northeast 41st and Fremont and at GazelleNaturalFiberClothing.com.
Till they took it all away, and all they left was a barren ground. No life can be found. Didn't give a reason and they didn't say why. Millions of trees had to die. Name of progress was all they'd say.
And good morning. You are listening to KBOO Portland. This is Wednesday Talk Radio. My name is Paul Rowland, your host for this program. Every week and every weekday morning, there is a different host for Talk Radio here on your community radio station. And this morning, we're going to have a full membership drive program with a number of guests and a subject we've been covering a fair amount over the past few months, a subject that is getting increasing scrutiny, which is the attempt to use the Pacific Northwest as a fossil fuel corridor to ship the various fossil fuels being pumped out of the ground in various parts of the inner parts of the continent, not the coastal parts, towards Asian markets to continue this mad fossil fuel-based industrial economy that is rapidly changing our climate. So we can do something about that here in Portland. Our first guest here in the studio is Jasmine. And I forget your last name.
Zimmerstecki.
Yes. I was about to switch them. So Jasmine is with Rising Tide, and Rising Tide has just put out a new publication with a map, coal, oil, gas, none shall pass, resistance is everywhere, with all these sites of resistance to these fossil fuel projects that are going on in the Pacific Northwest. And that's exciting. They printed several thousand copies, I think 12,000 or something like mm-hmm. that are available for people if you want to hand them around. So we're going to be talking about three different projects, that all of which we've touched on in this program and other places on KBOO over the past few months. The first is the Pembina proposed Pembina propane terminal, which had a hearing before the Portland Planning and Sustainability Commission last month, and is going to have another one coming up in March. The second is the Warrington liquefied natural gas, proposed Warrington liquefied natural gas terminal. That's right, yeah. Which is kind of been on again, off again, on again, off again. And we'll find out from Lori Kaplan, co-chair of the Columbia Pacific Common Sense Group, more about that a little bit later. And the third project is the Jordan Cove liquefied natural gas terminal proposed for Coos Bay with the Pacific Connector Pipeline feeding it. And we'll have Francis Etherington of Cascadia Wildlands will be on with us later, the third part of the show. So with that, let's talk about, that was you were at the Portland Planning and Sustainability Commission hearing last month. That was a full house, over 100 people, most of them against it, although a lot of the supporters of the project had gotten there earlier and had more representation in the comments period as compared to their numbers, especially the corporation had pretty much unlimited time to talk. What were your impressions of that?
Well, I think that Portland should really be proud of itself. Earlier at that hearing in January, the Planning and Sustainability Commission is faced with this decision to essentially the pipeline. Let me step back a little bit. What the decision that the Planning and the Sustainability Commission will make is whether or not they want to rewrite Portland's own code to allow a pipeline transporting liquefied propane gas through a conservation habitat along the Columbia River. So the debate about should we allow a pipeline to go through conservation habitat is something that the Planning and Sustainability Commission will decide on, and that will go to later on, if they approve it, to our City Council for final approval. If they choose to deny it, we think the project would be sort of dead in the water right there. So the thing that Portlanders who went to that rally and that hearing really accomplished was taking the issue of just that pipeline going through conservation habitat and expanding it to our whole city, to our climate, to the extraction, to the impact, to the negative impacts to jobs, the other industries that currently exist at the Port of Portland who rely on rail as their main source of shipping and getting commodities in and out. So I really think that the folks who turned out, there were hundreds of people who turned out to a rally beforehand and then who stayed for the hearing, did a wonderful job of taking what is a pipeline through conservation habitat and and, you know, empowering the Planning and Sustainability Commission to see the whole picture of what they're deciding on. It's more than just, you know, rewriting our conservation habitat code on the Columbia River. It's allowing a fossil fuel company that makes its money fracking for oil and gas in Alberta and British Columbia, and wanting to ship it, you know, through Portland overseas to Asian markets. So that was, I think, the biggest success of the hearing.
Yeah, and I think the Portland Planning and Sustainability Commission probably got a lot of points of view maybe they hadn't been able to get. It was definitely the process of democracy that we tend to get frustrated and disillusioned about. At least it seemed to be a little bit in evidence there. And we'll get to talk about that more, talk about specifically where this project is, other aspects of it, when we come back after this break.
Thanks, Paul. And we are here in the studio this morning asking for your support for KBOO Community Radio, the most important radio station and your community radio station. What other station is seriously and consistently addressing accelerating climate change and how people are actually organizing to turn things around right here in the Pacific Northwest? KBOO is doing it, and we're only doing it with your support. So we come to you a couple times a year, ask for your support, and that way we continue to do this day after day, week after week, 24/7 KBOO's on the air, and everyone you hear on the air is volunteers. It's amazing. And this phenomenon is only possible with your support. You can do that with a $40 contribution. That's a basic membership. Or you could do $5 a month, $10 a month. If you do that $10 a month contribution, you could get a tree planted in your name as part of your thank you. You could also get a Democracy Now! T-shirt or one of the KBOO T-shirts. You could get one of any number of thank you gifts if you call. You can find out about some of those other thank yous. But the real thank you is your community radio station that's providing you this forum, this platform for community activists to come on the air, to share what is going on in your community, to inform you and your friends and neighbors. So that's how we do it. We do it with your support. And what you need to do in order to contribute to this effort is to pick up your phone right now and call 877-500-5266, and then you decide just how much works for you, whether it's $5 or $10 a month, or maybe you could do more. Maybe you could be a major donor, $1,000 or $1,500 contribution. Write that off on your taxes.
Yeah, and we're not asking you necessarily to do that $1,000 per month, though we wouldn't turn it down. And this isn't a very important part we're about to do, which is thanking people who actually contributed this morning. I want to thank Clifford, who renewed. He's from Auburn, Washington. Sasha from Oakland, California. Jim in Corbett. Brian in Southeast Portland. And Mary in Southwest Portland. Thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you, and thank you. You are what keeps us going. So, after I say one more thing, 877-500-5266. Back to our program.
And thank you all. And thank you all to those of you who have supported us or will support us soon. And let me just make an announcement. I forgot to mention at the outset, speaking of going before our elected leaders, although this Planning and Sustainability Commission actually are not elected, they're appointed, I believe, yeah. It's time for Portland to withdraw from the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force. On February 5th, that is tomorrow, the Portland City Council will hold a public hearing on whether to continue its arm's length relationship with the FBI's Joint Terrorism Task Force or to rejoin the JTTF as a full participant subject to the FBI's control. Portland's current participation on the JTF is on a case-by-case basis, meaning the Portland police meet with and lend resources to the FBI when there is a criminal nexus. Current system adopted in 2011 promised greater transparency, but everyone agrees it's not working, et cetera, et cetera. So there's a petition out you could probably find. Tell Portland City to withdraw from the JTTF. We believe that Portland should stay out of the FBI's task force. So that is... I copied this off the internet, and I don't know if it's the morning or afternoon session, but I'm sure you can find that online. I'll try to get that before the end of the program. So back to the issue at hand. We're talking about a number of specific projects for gas export terminals. And again, you know, it's not just the terminals. In the case of the Pembina plant, it would be rail cars full of propane tanker cars. In the case of Warrington, it would be a pipeline. And same thing in the case of Jordan Cove. And there is resistance to both the terminal projects themselves as well as the mode of transportation, because as everybody has seen, fossil fuel rail cars tend to have the propensity to explode on a depressingly regular basis. And the same thing with pipelines. They tend to rupture and leak and or explode. Just got a note from my engineer, Steve, saying it is the afternoon session for the JTTF. So go on down for that. So again, so Jasmine, you're with Rising Tide, and Rising Tide is a direct action group that arose out of Earth First many, many years ago, and has been one of the kind of frontline groups before a lot of resistance to specific pipelines, like the KXL pipeline. A number of grassroots groups have sprung up around those particular issues. But as far as addressing the range of issues dealing with climate change and the fossil fuel industry, Rising Tide seems to be one of the main groups nationally that's doing stuff, yeah?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so the Rising Tide is an international collective of climate change activists whose goal is to confront the root causes of climate change. There are collectives all across North America, around the world, and especially in North America. A lot of these efforts have been focused on stopping pipeline terminal, oil, coal, gas terminal, rail infrastructure that would facilitate the export or the shipping of more fossil fuels. You know, we won't transition off of, you know, dirtier fuels until we stop spending money building terminals and pipelines to transport those dirty fuels. In the Northwest, we've had an amazing, you know, year for the Rising Tide collectives, you know, from Bellingham to Seattle to South Sound, Olympia. And here in Portland, we've conducted about a half dozen or so rail blockades, highlighting the risk that oil trains, you know, bring to our communities. These risks are something that can't be mitigated. And the industry, the rail industry, the oil industry has proven time and time again that they don't even want to attempt to mitigate. So one of the things that we've also been looking at is the bigger picture. You know, we really, in Portland, are really committed to working with the Portland area community and communities across Oregon on the projects that they're fighting. But, you know, taking a step back and seeing what's exactly happening all across the Northwest, you know, the West Coast, you know, from Oregon, Washington, up into Canada and into Alaska. And what we're seeing across the board is this massive, massive effort by fossil fuel companies to dig up whatever they can in the interior of the United States and Canada and ship it by whatever means they can to the coast and then sell it overseas. And one of the things that we did to help sort of articulate that is two summers ago, we did a big blockade on the Columbia River. Many folks probably listening were probably there. There were over 800 people on the river and on the I-5 bridge with a big banner that said coal, oil, gas, none shall pass. And that's been the motto that, you know, that we've really taken on. That action made international coverage. It's now on book covers about activism. So Portland, congratulations. You all showed up to an event that really sort of captured the hearts and minds of people all around the world. And then we took that and made this giant map, which, of course, because of radio, I can't show you. But if you want to get one, you can at February 13th at City Hall from noon to 1, when we are participating with 350 PDX in the International Divestment Day action. We'll have a big stack of them, or you can get in touch with Rising Tide via our website. And it just it's a map of the West Coast and the interior United States and Canada, and it shows where the extraction is coming from, how it's getting here, and where these fuels are going. And the interesting thing, too, about this map is it shows the pockets of resistance that have grown, and that's really where we want to support. We want to cultivate these pockets of resistance, you know, inspiring folks down in Astoria and Warrington, down in Coos Bay, up in the Seattle area, and you know, throughout the West Coast and the interior. There are these amazing pockets of resistance that are coming up to protect their communities and their climate.
And we're going to have to go back to Membership Central in a second here. We're talking about the issue of fossil fuel exports and climate change and citizen resistance. And we've been talking with Jasmine of Rising Tide, and we're talking specifically also about the Pembina propane terminal. And when we come back, we'll be talking more about that and about the Warrington Liquefied Natural Gas Terminal with Lori Kaplan, co-chair of Columbia Pacific Common Sense. Let's go
to Bill and Jenka.
To Bill and Jenka.
Yes, this would be Bill. And you know what? It's our membership drive, and you're listening to why being a member is so great because of this kind of coverage. So give us a call at 877-500-5266 and support your community radio station, KBOO. We are here encouraging you to join, or if you are already a member, if you can, to up your membership a little bit and be a more powerful part of our community in terms of fundraising. You are hearing this show, which is talking about extremely important things, the fossil fuel disaster. And just as an aside, by the way, one of the pushes for continuing this stuff is jobs and money. And the reality is that the jobs are at best transient, and the money doesn't go to us. This is for export, not to mention, of course, it's fossil fuels. But listen to us, and you're going to be informed about this stuff. And all you have to do to contribute is call that number, 877-500-5266, or go to our website, kboo.fm, or walk in the door at 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland.
Yeah, you know, like I was doing an interview yesterday about the Keystone XL. We get all of the risks and none of the benefits here. And this fossil fuel infrastructure that these companies keep pushing on us is something that we're informing you about and that people are organizing about. And we use radio here as an organizing tool to help share this information and to help get you informed and involved in your community. It's not disempowering radio. This is empowering radio, showing you what you can do, how you can make a difference in this world. And you know, if you are stuck in traffic and kicking yourself saying, oh, I should have ridden my bike today, I'm now contributing and to this fossil fuel disaster and stuck in this traffic jam, well, use that time effectively. Take the time to pick up your phone. Maybe you've got a Bluetooth. Hopefully you do. If not, pull over and just call us up, 877-500-5266. You can consider it your carbon offset to your community. You can also actually do a carbon offset if you give $75 or above as a pledge to KBOO. You can get us to plant a tree with Friends of Trees. They're going to help offset their cost for planting 20,000 trees this summer in the Portland, Vancouver area, and all of these trees will be planted in public spaces. So do give us a call right now, and if you do give $75 or above, there are a number of thank you gifts that you can get, and that doesn't have to be all at once. You don't need $75 in your pocket right now. You just need $6.25 a month. So if that's doable for you, then call right now. Any amount, any possibility that you can contribute, that is all goes into the big pool of the KBOO community resource. 877-500-KBOO. If you need to remember it, it's pretty easy to remember. 877-500-KBOO is the number for you to call.
I just want to make a small amendment to what Jenka said. If you are in your car, even hands-free, don't use the phone because your brain can't actually handle it.
So pull over.
Yeah,
pull over. And give us a call.
Plus, it's a break from all of that driving. And give us a call at 877-500-5266. And once again, we're looking out for you. We're keeping you from driving off the road. We're giving you all kinds of important information about fossil fuel industry that is busily messing up our world, and ways that you can help put pressure on them by going, for instance, to the city hall meetings and testifying yourself. And this is because we are community radio. We are membership driven. And you can, of course, be a member by calling 877-500-5266, coming into 20 Southeast 8th Avenue in Portland, going to kboo.fm on the internets, and giving money.
You know, what's really great about community radio is that we're completely listener and local community supported, and so that makes us independent. We're allowed to say whatever we need to say, and we're not beholden to any corporate interest, any advertisers' interests. We are beholden only to you, our 5,000 members that contribute, and I do hear from members quite a bit. They call and they tell us they want to hear about this Pembina, this propane terminal that is coming into Portland that they're trying to push here, and now you're hearing about it. I know that Paul has covered this. We cover it on the evening news, where I'm working with a lot of volunteers on producing stories, and we are the only ones really in the local area that's bringing you this kind of information. Print media has been severely cut, and so the news and information that used to be provided by some of these local print publications, they're all turning into these national feeds, and KBOO is actually out here in your community providing you this type of in-depth news and analysis, and we're doing that only because of your support. If you can support us, whether it's a $1,000 major donor contribution, or whether it's $500, or maybe it's $10 a month, whatever works for you, that is what makes this all possible. All of that added together makes KBOO's annual budget. We're trying to raise $85,000, so do give a call, 877-500-5266. Call right now.
And we're back. And this is a abbreviated program because of the membership drive, and we do appreciate your support, so do call that number. And it's going to be difficult to get call-ins to this program just because we have so much information. We may be able to squeeze in a couple. I apologize. The number, of course, is 503-231-8187. So, again, Jasmine, let's... they're going to go before the Portland Planning and Sustainability Commission on this Pembina, proposed Pembina Corporation's propane terminal up on the Port of Portland, up across from West Hayden Island in North Portland. And that's going to be in March?
It's going to be on March 17th. The Planning and Sustainability Commission will have a second hearing. The first hearing was overflowing. They couldn't get to all the testimony. So they'll open the testimony again March 17th from 3 to 7 p.m. at 900 Southwest 4th Avenue. That's the Planning and Sustainability Commission, the Bureau of Planning and Sustainability office. And I encourage folks to come down early. The hearing's from 3 to 7, but come down early for a rally beforehand, and join everyone from Rising Tide, Audubon Society, Columbia Riverkeeper, ILWU Local 8 came out opposed to this terminal. It's too dangerous for Portland. It endangers our workers, our rivers, and our climate. So you can probably find one of those reasons that resonates with you, and we hope to see you on March 17th at the second Planning and Sustainability Commission on Pembina's proposed propane export terminal.
And, of course, you can send in your own comments to their email address. That's psc@portlandoregon.gov. G-O-V, PSC at portlandoregon.gov, and by March 27th, you can send in your comments. I just noticed, just came out a fact sheet put out by the ILWU, Columbia Riverkeeper, and Audubon Society, propane in Portland, putting our environment, communities, and jobs at risk. And I assume that can be found online. Looks like at www.audubonportland.org or www.columbiariverkeeper.org are a couple places. This is a chock full of all the reasons why people are in opposition to this. And So we've talked about that in the past. We're going to talk about it again. People can get informed on your own, can come out to the City Hall February 13th, International Divestment Day, pick up a copy of the Rising Tide new publication with a map of and information about all the all the different projects and resistance to them around the Northwest. Right now, we do have Lori Kaplan on the line with Columbia Pacific Common Sense. Hey, Lori. Have we lost her?
I'm here.
Oh, great. Hello.
I can hear you.
And we can hear you. We can hear you.
Oh, good, good. So, well, and good morning again.
So, Lori, you know, this is something we haven't touched on in a while, I don't think. I don't hear, you know, KBOO 24 hours a day, but I know I've covered this for the news in the past, and I said at the outset this is kind of an on-again, off-again, on-again, off-again project. Tell us where this proposed LNG terminal in Warrington is at right now.
It's fascinating, Paul. The company originally proposed a terminal for the Skipanon Peninsula in Warrington in 2004, and they haven't really made much progress. They are now, they have a lawsuit against the Army Corps of Engineers. I believe there's still no environmental impact statement from FERC. At the state level, they are seeking permits from the Department of Environmental Quality, and I believe they have to get sign-offs from other departments as well. At the county level, the State Land Use Board of Appeals is now considering the merits of this proposal because the county commissioners voted unanimously 5-0 against approving the pipeline for this project. And at the local level, there will be hearings probably in the next month or so for the city of Warrington because this terminal, the Oregon LNG terminal, is proposed to be an export terminal. So it would take fracked gas and export it, as you and Jasmine have been talking about, to Asia and other places where they can probably get double the money, assuming there's still a market for fracked natural gas. And so what's happening is at all levels, there's all kinds of activity going on. And the good thing is that opposition statewide and region-wide is just building tremendously. I think Oregonians statewide are recognizing that the huge impact at a very practical level that this project could have on shipping because the terminal and the tankers are considered terrorist threats. So the ships going past the tankers they have to follow really stringent federal rules for safety. And so it could well be that shippers, well, it's more than likely that shippers won't be able to transit the Columbia River according to their schedules or according to tide schedules. So even fishermen would be affected.
So tell us about this. Yeah, yeah.
Go
no, it sounds incredibly complicated, and it sounds like you know people are putting pressure at all the different places where they can. So a lot of the, you know, a lot of the way people this plays out. I remember, you know, from back in the day of the large scale efforts to curb massive rampant clear cut logging was just delay until you can get them in court or until policy changes or whatever. That's seems to be where it's at when you got these huge corporate economic forces grinding away at you. You just use whatever means you can. So this the gas proposed to feed this export terminal, where would that be coming from?
Well, it's as you have been saying, it would be coming from the interior. It might be from Canada, it might be from the mid parts of this country, but it would be fracked because that's why all of a sudden there's this a surplus, so to speak, of natural gas. The pipe, what would bring the gas to Warrington is a 3-foot pipeline, 3-foot diameter. So this is high pressure pipeline. It's unodorized gas, and The pipeline would also be cutting through really unstable land. The coastal area is just known for slides, even sometimes after a moderate rain, forgetting all of our huge rains. And one of the other just bewildering things about this project, which is incredibly reckless, is that they are planning to build it, or they want to build it, on what is essentially a sand spit below sea level in an earthquake and tsunami zone, and they haven't even found bedrock 350 feet down. So while the state and all of us are worried about becoming tsunami-proof, this would be this giant fireball just waiting to happen. The site would include two storage tanks that would be 17 stories tall, which is, I believe, taller than any other facility in Clatsop County. And it would be the diameter equal to the length of a football field. So this isn't a farm silo, the kind of things we're all used to seeing. This is something that would fill a city block and beyond. And there's another structure that's a gas flare burn-off building that would be have a similar footprint.
And exactly, again, exactly where is this proposed to be?
Okay, this is on the Skipanon Peninsula, which is essentially a man-made site that didn't exist 70 years ago. It's not on previous maps because there wasn't any land there. It's developed over the years because of the flow of the river and dredge spoils being dumped there and the jetties on either side. So it is across the river from Astoria. If you look at a map in the far northwest corner of the state, that's where Warrenton is. It's a town of about 5,000 people. This terminal would be built within a quarter mile of houses, schools, major shopping, major highway, Highway 101. Where people live.
Yeah.
Pardon me?
Oh, no, I was just going to say that's a similar issue with the Pembina project. There are also people live nearby there, too.
Right.
The potential blast zone is, you know, includes a lot of areas that wouldn't want to be necessarily incinerated.
That's right, exactly. And the same for this. There's the science that have researched a liquefied natural gas consider this. There's a 3-mile vapor hazard zone where the gas can travel so fast, and it's unodorized, so nobody would know it's leaking, and it doesn't show. And because it's cold, it would stay very low to the ground and could be ignited even by, like, a lit cigarette, or a boat engine spark. So it is a disaster waiting to happen.
So your group, Columbia Pacific Common Sense, how long has that been around?
Well, there's been local opposition since we first learned about this proposal in November of 2004. I think we organized as a formal group in 2008, mm-hmm. 2009, but there's always been this strong level of opposition. Our local people working with Columbia Riverkeeper helped defeat another proposal for the Columbia River, another LNG terminal that was proposed about 20 miles upriver at Bradwood. And that company ended up going bankrupt and defaulting on loans and bills. It owes the county here $200,000. So, and it owed lots of even charities and nonprofits that had pledged money to. So that was primarily local opposition that defeated Bradwood Landing, and we are determined to defeat Oregon LNG. And with the fabulous help of Columbia Riverkeeper, we are doing that. In fact, your listeners can even submit comments to the Department of Environmental Quality just by going to the Columbia Riverkeeper website and just file a comment through there, which would be incredibly helpful.
That's actually what I was just going to ask you.
Good.
I didn't have to interrupt you. We're going to have to move on because we're in our membership drive, and we've got another break coming up. And after that, we have Francis Etherington to talk about the Jordan Cove, another project on our Oregon coast. So, Lori, I really appreciate it. If you have any last quick thoughts before
move on. Thank you. Thanks, Paul. I think what I would say is a lot of people think, well, we should at least have one of these export proposals. They are both so bad for Oregon. They would increase our carbon footprint beyond measurement, probably. They deter us from developing sustainable and renewable energy. They ruin habitat. The project here is so bad on so many levels that we are mystified that anyone at any level of government is taking it seriously. There's nothing good about it.
Okay, well, thank you so much, Lori Kaplan, and for all your hard work. Lori Kaplan with the Columbia Pacific Common Sense talking about the Oregon LNG proposed project, which has run into many delays thanks to citizen efforts like hers. Thank you, and we are on Wednesday Talk Radio. We are in membership drive.
Bill. And that means that you're hearing from Bill, that would be B, and Jenka, and that would be you.
Good morning.
And we are asking you to become a member of KBOO's community radio community. And you can do that most simply by calling 877-500-5266, talking to one of our lovely operators who are sitting by waiting for your call, unless there are listening to somebody else's call, and that will take just a couple of minutes and you will be a member. And you know what else? We have gifts. We have ways for you to get something back from us aside from all the radio programming we give. For instance, you could get, for a $60 minimum pledge, that's $5 a month, a one-year subscription to Yes Magazine. So you would be getting even more important information, not merely as though it's mere, all the important information that we give you, plus all the great music that you hear, but you would have a quarterly subscription. That is, you know, every, what, 3 months? That's a quarter. And all you have to do is call 877-500-5266.
That Yes Magazine is a journal of sustainable futures, and it really is all positive. It's all ways that people are turning this ship around, away from this accelerating climate change and towards a sustainable future based in human rights and justice. And that's what we're doing here. We're working on that, and we're turning this whole thing around with your help. And we're doing it through informing the public and through organizing via the radio. It's an amazing thing. It's going on since 1968. When we first came on the air, it was before I was born, and they said, well, this experiment isn't going to work, is it? Where people are just going to support a radio station? They're just going to give every month and support it? Well, guess what? It has worked for more than 46 years. Now, KBOO has been on the air. It's amazing. We're doing that with your support. We're able to keep going. We're able to weather the depressions and the different economic things that come our way because we have a wide base of members. We have over 5,000 of you, and all of those $50 a year, $100 a year, $200 a year contributions add up to KBOO's budget. And that way we're able to provide the studios, we're able to provide the training, we're able to do this every single day with your support. So how much can you give KBOO? Can you give us $5 or $10 a month? Call now, 877-500-5266. Again, 877-500-5266. Call now.
And it's good to hear that phone ring, 877-500-5266. And of course, the number here, if you have something, a burning comment, so to speak, to make, something that you think people should hear about on these issues, 503-231-8187. My name's Paul Rowland. This is Wednesday Morning Talk Radio here on KBOO, and I'm with Jasmine Zimmer Stuckey, who's a Rising Tide activist, been working on many different issues. This is all about getting involved. There's a lot of different groups. As you've heard, there's a rising citizen opposition to the fossil fuel behemoth, and trying to find a better way to live on this planet, since we're heating it up to going into uncharted waters rising waters here. And so we're going to be talking. We've got also Francis Etherington now on the line to speak about the Jordan Cove project and the Pacific Connector Pipeline. Francis, are you there?
Yes, I am. Hello.
Hello, hello. And we're just going to talk a little bit more about Pembina before we go into that for the last segment of this three-project discussion this morning. Lori Kaplan was just talking about where that gas comes from. Not sure. Could be coming from the tar sands area. The gas that comes as a result of that process could be coming from the Rocky Mountain area, not sure. And how about the propane that would be feeding this Pembina proposed terminal?
Yeah. So the Pembina proposed export terminal at the Port of Portland, the important thing to note about that is Pembina is not just a propane company. They are the largest pipeline corporation in the Alberta tar sands. So this is not just, you know, your average, you know, mom and pop shop. This is an energy giant, a Canadian energy giant that is incredibly active and profiting immensely off of the Alberta tar sands. Pembina says that the propane that would come to Portland would come from the Western Sedimentary Basin, so a little bit west of what we would think of as the Alberta tar sands. However, it would come as they were fracking for natural gas. So when you frack for natural gas, propane comes out with it, and the propane and the gas would go to a facility called Redwater that also processes tar sands. And again, with extracting oil, you could also get propane as well. So, you know, it all mixes together, you know, at this Redwater facility in Canada, and then we'll get shipped, put onto pressurized tank cars and put on our rails and shipped to Portland. So, you know, Pembina is not this tiny, tiny company. It may not be a household name here in Oregon, but in Canada, they are the largest pipeline corporation in the Alberta tar sands. So they are not, supporting a propane terminal in Portland essentially supports a company that is already making huge profits doing the terrible things that we read about every day in the Alberta tar sands. So we encourage folks to find, you know, whether it's, you know, their connections in the Alberta tar sands, the dangers to the Columbia River. These ships would likely also have those massive security zones, like Lori was mentioning with the LNG tankers, you know, potentially up to 500 yards of, you know, shutting down the river while these, you know, floating bombs go up and down carrying pressurized propane gas, or, you know, impacts to worker safety. There's a lot of reasons to be concerned and opposed to this terminal.
And so, Francis, let's bring you in. Another massive proposed project down in Coos Bay. Tell us a little bit about where. I know there's a whole bunch of hearings up and down around Oregon on this project recently, mainly in central and southern Oregon. What's going on with Jordan Cove right now?
Well, we're a little ahead of the warranted project. The federal agency in charge of approving or not this project is the Federal Energy Regulatory Commission, or FERC, and they put out a environmental study in last December, and comments from the public are due on that next week, February 13th. And so folks are putting in their comments. Our project has a much bigger pipeline associated with it. So one of our big issues is the 300 landowners stretched across southern Oregon that are facing the threat of eminent domain for the use of their property for this 3-foot diameter, high pressure, unodorized pipeline. The company that wants to build our liquefied natural gas terminal in Coos Bay is from Canada. Their name is Verizon. They did write a purpose and needs statement, and they say that if they've saturated the domestic market with natural gas, and if they can't export, they'll just have to cut back on fracking. So this is really the whole purpose and need for them condemning the property of 300 landowners down here, a Canadian company. So there's a lot of outrage about a foreign corporation taking our land for their profits in Canada. And we have similar issues with the LNG terminal being put in the earthquake tsunami zone. But with our project, we have an extra power plant associated with it in order for them to get the energy they need to liquefy the natural gas. And so the entire terminal site is estimated to, that's going to emit over 2 million tons of CO2 per year, which will be Oregon's highest emitter of greenhouse gases after the Boardman coal plant closes. So these are just some of the big issues that we're trying to convince FERC not to approve this project, but FERC is in the business of approving these projects, so we're not sure how it's going to work out.
Well, this is a lot of information to take in, so let's let our listeners bite on that for a little bit. We are in our membership drive, so I'll ask you, Francis, just to hold on another few minutes, and we'll be back with you to wrap up the program when we come back. Jenk and Bill, how are you doing out there?
Thanks, just Paul. Fine. We're doing great. We want more people to call. We're trying to raise $500 in the next 10 minutes. So we want you to be one of those five people giving $100 a year, or 10 people giving $50 a year, whatever you're able to give. Help us get over the top for this hour, reach our goal. That's the minimum, and then we can always raise more than that in order to raise up to the $85,000. Maybe we'll raise $85,000 this day. If we have 85 people giving $1,000, we could do that just today and be
done. That'll happen.
877-500-5266. Hey, in the whole listening area, there are 85 people who could give $1,000 each, I think.
It is very true.
For sure they could do that. But maybe you're not able to give $1,000, but you could give $100. Maybe you could give 10 a month. Can you do that? Can you do 10 a month for KBOO? I mean, think about it. Is it worth it to you?
Yes, it is. It's actually, to me, it's worth more than that. I think it's 15, maybe 20.
I give 15 a month.
And I come down here and volunteer.
Yeah, and we do that because we love this station. It's a cycle. It keeps on giving. We give, it gives back to us, gives back to your community, gives back to your friends and family. It gives you information that you can then share with others. It gives you free training. I mean, this is an amazing gift to your community. And
I happen to have two people who realize the value of KBOO and contributed. Daphne Renewed, she lives in West Lynn, go Daphne. And from Milwaukee, the legendary Anon, who also renewed.
And I see a couple online. Connie from Portland, supporting Democracy Now! Mitch from Portland. You can also give online, kboo.fm. Real easy way to give as well. And all of this is very secure. You can sign up for that monthly deduction, and that is an extremely secure way to give $5, $10. You could give $20 a month. Whatever works for you, just call right now, set it up. Just takes a couple minutes to set up, and then you've done your part. You've gotten that out of the way, and you can just listen and enjoy. 877-500-5266. You know, we're hearing these updates from Warrenton, Jordan Cove, here in Portland, where this Pembina terminal and this propane terminal is being proposed. It's pretty disturbing stuff. And how people are organizing. What is really empowering to me, listening to Paul's shows in general, are the people who are coming together and standing up to these things and succeeding. Three of the six proposed liquefied natural gas terminals for the state of Oregon have already been shut down by the people's organizing. And now they're working on the others. 877-500 KBOO, do call right now and support.
I was just going to say that these terminals are so completely wrong, because not only are they incredibly dangerous, and not only do they provide minimal jobs, but they contribute to global warming. They make it much worse. So when you hear that, you have the information to fight, because you're listening to KBOO. you're listening to Paul's program. And so, well, Democracy Now! Earlier this morning. There is so much information that we are able to provide to you because you support the station. You give the $20 a year or the $50 or the $1,000 a year. You give that money, for instance, $6.25 a month. We'll, by the way, get you a gift of a Democracy Now! T-shirt. Think of that. All that information and a very cool T-shirt. So make sure that you call 877-500-5266. Tell one of our very, very friendly phone answerers what you want to give. Perhaps you want a gift from us. And all of the things that you need to do will take maybe 2 minutes. And then you can go back to listening to Paul and getting even more information that you will use.
Well, we have a great lineup of specials, not just today, but throughout this membership drive, which is going till the 14th, and we are trying to raise $85,000. This hour, we need about $500 more. In the next 6 minutes, we can do it. With your support, you can help us raise the goal for this hour, 877-500-5266. Support this type of programming where you're learning about citizens fighting back against these proposed gas export terminals, creating this fossil fuel corridor in the Pacific Northwest, and how people are organizing against that.
And let me make a point here. To get that $500, five people giving $8.25 a month. That is so easy. So many people can do that. KBOO.FM 877-500-5266.
And thank you, Bill and Jenka, and thank all of you who have supported and or will support KBOO in the future. This is Wednesday Morning Talk Radio. My name is Paul Rowland. I'm here with Jasmine Zimmer-Stuckey, who's with Rising Tide. And we spoke with Lori Kaplan of Columbia Pacific Common Sense. And we're speaking now with Francis Etherington of Cascadia Wildlands about the proposed Jordan Cove terminal. So, you know, we've talked about where this gas is coming from for these other projects. So where would the gas that would, if this project does go through, which is not a given, where would it come from to flow through the Pacific Connector pipeline through all these people's property and various other public lands as well?
It will, 70% comes from Canada and 30% from the Rocky Mountain Basin, both through fracked gas. That's at the start of the project, and the estimate will be 50-50 Canadian Rocky Mountain gas as time goes on. The really important thing to remember about this natural gas for all the natural gas and propane projects is that gas is basically methane. And methane, when it is leaked, unburned into the atmosphere, is 86 times more potent than burning coal. Now, a lot of people call natural gas a bridge fuel. That's why Kitzhaber is hinting he's for this. That's why Ron Wyden and Jeff Merkley have sort of thrown us under the bus. Oh, it's a bridge fuel. It's well, when you burn natural gas, it is less than coal. But the problem is that at the fracking fields and the transportation, a huge amount of methane leaks into the atmosphere. So much unburned methane leaks into the atmosphere, it makes natural gas as dirty as coal. So it's not a bridge fuel, and it's incredibly polluting to our atmosphere.
Yeah, there's these huge methane plumes over these areas where they frack this gas.
Yes, that's right. And not only is this not a bridge fuel, it really stops us, a cheap fossil fuel stops us from being able to develop more alternative energies. So we need to put a real stop to getting anything out of the ground. And why invest a huge amount of money in this huge fossil fuel infrastructure in Oregon when, you know, the IPCC said that, you know, in 50 years we have to be off of fossil fuels by 80%. And these projects are going to be young by that time. You know, it just doesn't fit in with what we need to do.
And, of course, as I said on my I had a Robert Hunsaker on my program a couple weeks ago, the timeline may be ratcheting up really dramatically with the methane being released from the warming Arctic seas and the permafrost creating unimaginable, unknown changes in a much shorter time frame that potentially than people have been talking about. A very frightening scenario, but if we're actually going to even have a chance of doing anything about it, these are some of the projects that have to be taken off the table. So you said February 13th comments are due. How can people make those comments?
Well, go on to our website at caswild.org, CASCWILD.org, and under our campaign menu, you'll see comment on the Coos Bay LNG Now. And please do comment. Every comment matters. Comments are due February 13th. That's next Friday.
Okay, thank you so much, Frances Etherington. And a last word to Jasmine, once again, about efforts here in Portland.
Yeah, we hope to see you all out on February 13th at City Hall from noon to 1. That's International Divestment Day. We're going to be telling the city of Portland, divest from fossil fuels and don't invest further in fossil fuels. That's February 13th from noon to 1 at City Hall. And information about that is on the 350 PDX website.
And how to get in touch with Rising Tide?
You can email us at info@portlandrisingtide.org or visit portlandrisingtide.org.
And all this will be up on our website, kboo.fm, under this date, this program, Wednesday Talk Radio. Thank you so much for listening. My name is Paul Rowland, and stay tuned for more great programming here on KBOO.
What I want to know is where we're going to go. The rain don't make our garden grow, and the soil's too dry for our seeds to sow. How long till we learn? You play with fire and you're sure to burn. A one-way ticket with a no return, cause where we gonna go? Well, I don't know.
KBOO Community Radio is a proud co-sponsor of the 9th Annual Youth Summit, February 6th and 7th, at the Blazers Boys and Girls Club. With the theme, If Not You, Then Who? Be the Change. The Youth Summit provides mentorship, encouragement, and training opportunities for young people and adults of all ethnicities in the Portland area to cultivate their budding leadership and organizing skills. The summit also showcases youth talent with prizes for those having the courage to perform. Again, that's the 9th Annual Portland Youth Summit, February 6th and 7th, at the Blazers Boys and Girls Club, 5250 Northeast Martin Luther King Jr. Boulevard in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under Community Events.